just going to start right in real quick, because how many people know we have an enemy in this world? What we just saw with Kathy was an attack, okay? Point blank. And I'm going to start teaching right off of it. I don't know where we're going to go. We have been redeemed from the curse, okay? We just got done singing about Jesus. And what we saw was an attack. But you need to understand, I'm going to read you a scripture here. Jesus came, he defeated the enemy, and he restored his authority unto us, okay? And what we've been teaching on for the last 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, is faith and confession. Now, how do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and a word of our testimony. But you need to understand that God is not the God of this world. And I'm going to take you to a scripture that's going to show you this. Go on over to 2 Corinthians 4. If you do not get this straight, you will never overcome in life. You will never start living that abundant life. You've got to realize you have an adversary here in this earth that wants to take you out. Okay? It says here, I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, and this is where I want you, this is verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Satan is still in control of the earth here. You know, a lot of people go, how can you say God is good when all this crap is happening around? People are being abused. Because the God of this world is not Jesus. The God of this world is Satan. He took dominion of this earth when he came and deceived Eve in the garden. Okay? He still has the leasehold on that. When is the earth going to be restored to the kingdom of God? When Jesus, in the second coming. You need to understand you are playing on a battlefield that is owned by the enemy. That's why in the scriptures it talks about us, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone who is from another kingdom. You know, it says when you become born again, you are translated into the kingdom of light. That's you. The minute you become born again, you are translated from Satan's kingdom, and that's what he was talking about here, into the kingdom of light. Amen? You are no longer underneath the authority of the enemy. You are underneath the authority of who? Jesus Christ. You're in his kingdom now. Now, an ambassador represents everything that's in the kingdom. Let's just use this week's news. Everything that's going on down in the Persian Gulf. You got, is it Iran? That took the little boats, okay? And we're talking about the diplomatic crap, okay? But basically, there's talks going on. Now, the guy that's talking to Iran has all the power and authority that backs the United States backing him. That's a picture of who we are. The minute you become born again, his authority, his dominion, his word backs everything you do. That's the key. That's what we're talking about in faith and confession. And we're going to get into a little bit about this. I could not understand. I was in this church yesterday praying through everything, and I had a ton of stuff to us. I was supposed to go to Shipshawana. We didn't. And I was like, man, this is not clicking. And then everything that kept coming to my mind, I mean, I get it written down. I don't even know how to say it. It just wasn't fitting very well within the structure of my head of how to communicate it. I was in praying before the service. It was kind of a weird morning in there. There was a lot more action in my office than there usually is. Usually everybody just leaves me alone. But that being said, I was going through this little book right here. It's called Faith and Confessions by Charles Capps. This book revolutionized my whole way of thinking. If you can get it, get it. and I'll leave it at that. But basically, what I'm trying to say is you got an enemy. And what we've been talking about in Mark, as the seed is sown, let me go right into it. This little example that I'm going to give you was in this book. And I was going through it yesterday, and I just picked up this book this morning. I got a bunch of books in my office. I was just looking at it. I flipped through it, and there it was. Now, my copy, this is a new copy I just bought. My copy is so destroyed. I read this book about 10 or 15 years ago, and I probably reread the book four or five times. There's that much in it. And my book, you pick it up, and all the papers fall out. That's why I bought the new one. All the pages come out because where I ripped it apart and made notes and all that other stuff. But in the book, he uses this example. You know, we've been talking about, you know, the seed is sown into the ground, and then it grows and does all that type of thing. I want to liken that unto, Keith, and don't take me at this, into a heating and air conditioning system. It's so much easier when you see this. Now, everyone can understand what a heating and air conditioning system is, right? You got a base unit back here, and you got a thermostat that sits on the wall, correct? That thermostat represents hope. As you're reading the Word of God, you're starting to see the Word of God, you're starting to see things come, you go, whoa, that's new to me. Because we're talking about faith and confession. The Lord speaks to your heart, then you start confessing it for the manifestation of it. Now, there's a heating and air conditioning unit in the behind that wall right there that basically makes it cool in here. Okay, let's use cool because it's nice and hot outside. That heating and air conditioning unit doesn't care. All it's doing is waiting for the signal from what? That. Your hope. And that little box there sends an impulse to that furnace back there, telling it what to do. If it's during the summertime, it's making what? Cold air. If it's during the wintertime, it's making warm air. That's what Jesus was using that example for in Mark. You know, the ground has nothing to do with what's produced. It's the hope and the impulse, okay? And this goes right to what happened here this morning. She was getting attacked, okay? She went into what? She panicked. She went into fear. We all do it. Every one of us that sits here, and I don't care how great and how mighty and man of faith you are, you're never going to be there. I'm telling you, I still wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning with fear in my stomach about what we're doing here. I've learned to channel it with the impulse that I'm seeing. The faith, that thermostat is sending an impulse. That machine in the back doesn't matter. Let's say it's 90 degrees in here. We walk in, it's 90 degrees in this room, and then we walk over and we set that thing at 70. Does it instantly turn 70? No, it doesn't. That machine's got to work to get it. That's how faith works. We have our hope. We set our hope on that. The impulse is really what we're speaking. Understand what I'm saying here? The impulse is, okay, by his stripes I am healed. By his, you understand? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The impulse is what tells the machine what to do. Same thing with the ground. The ground doesn't determine what comes up, does it? Who does? The farmer. The seed that's planted will come up. You can't put a bean seed in the ground and hope a coconut comes up. It ain't going to happen. The ground has nothing to do with it. That machine back there is your heart. Your production center has nothing to do with it. Your hope, what you comprehend and what you speak, determines what comes out of your heart. You got to plan it. And we're all weak in faith in certain areas. That's what we're talking about, building ourselves up. That being said, we have an enemy here who wants to do what? Crush it. He doesn't want you walking in victory. He doesn't want you walking in success. He doesn't want you walking in health. He doesn't want you prospering. He wants to what? Destroy. The thief coming to heal. That's exactly right. To destroy you. So know you have an enemy. Now, that being said, we all know about knowing God. We're all born again. Now, the next step in this church is how to walk in the abundant life. That's how we overcome. If you take a look at 90% of what's going on in the world, let's take it down to the church world. People are being dictated by the enemy when they should be ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus. Think about that. We should be ruling and reigning. When a king says something, what happens? It's done. Talk about those Saudi guys. This is probably a really bad example of it. The newspaper guy they just dusted. The King Saudi Arabia guy said, hey, take care of him. He was done. I know that's a backwards illustration of this, but that's how we should be ruling and reigning in this earth, because he's given us the authority to do it. Now, that being said, what we've been talking about for the last 4 or 5 weeks is how we implement this. These are faith principles, faith and confession. And the reason why I like Charles Capps, he's got a couple books out. He's got a ton of books out, but there's a couple of them. But in the back of the book, he's got all these little confessions written down with the scriptures right there. He did all the work for you. All you got to do is look up the scripture. Yeah, that's what it says. Dang, I can do this. Where we have to get and how we overcome the attack of the enemy is when the attack comes, that impulse, because just using our little furnace thing, that little heater back there, when the temperature starts to rise in here, use this in our little lives, because the enemy's going to bring the temperature up in your life, right? And that thing is set at 70, and it gets up to 73, the impulse says what? No, we need to get back down to 70. That's us confessing. Boop. No, the devil. The word says, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Greater is he that is in me. You understand what I'm saying? That's the impulse. That impulse has got to come where? It's got to come out of your hope. You've got to do this through your thermostat. And then you start confessing it, and that impulse goes back down to the little machine, and it starts to create cold air to bring the temperature down. You understand what I'm saying here? That's how we overcome the enemy. This is how we overcome the enemy. If you're not putting the word in, if you're not confessing what the word of God says, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know what belongs to you in Christ, you are going to walk in a defeated life the rest of your life. So it's up to us to find out what they are. And I'm not just talking about prosperity or healing. If you need love in your life, the love of God's been where? Shed abroad in my heart. We walk in love. Faith worketh by love, guys. You want to know why 90% of the body of Christ isn't getting what they received or what they're believing for in the kingdom of God is because they want it for selfish reasons and or there is resentment and hurt in their life that they're not willing to forgive. I'm telling you, man, it is a bondage that is a plight that's within the body of Christ because God is love. God always looks for the positive. He's always looking for the uplifted part of people. That's how we overcome. That's how we walk with one another. If you've been in church for a week, you've been hurt. Somebody in some church has dumped on you or said something wrong to you or you've been offended. Get over it. Release it. Because the only thing it does is hold you in bondage. It's not hurting the other person. You need to deal with that. There's a young girl minister that I listened to when I was at Rhema. She's a young lady, and she said, get over it. And that was she wrote a little book. Get over it. Man, you are going to be hurt. And think about this, and we see this in the natural. Who's the one that usually hurts you the most? Somebody in your family. The ones that you get closest to are usually when you hurt. You get offended, and you hold that offense. Just get over it, because all it's doing is holding you back. We walk in love. Faith worketh by love. You know, if you need long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit is how I love to implant this into our love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are the things that we should be trying to mature in our life. Because all the rest of the other stuff, the prosperity, the healing, that all come if we're dealing with our own heart first. Once we deal with our own heart, the rest of it, the peripheral stuff, will always fall in line. And what we're trying to do is train our spirit. You know, faith, you can't believe for $1 million till you first believe for your first dollar. You understand what I'm saying?
when Jesus was teaching, faith is as a mustard seed. It starts as a very, very small seed. But as you develop it, as you grow it, as you start to exercise it, it turns into a tree, which becomes a blessing for everybody around you. All the trees, what did I say, it grows into a tree, and the birds, and everything starts to live in it. Because they start to live off what you're believing. That's how we grow faith. I don't care where you're at, because this is something the Lord has been stirring in me. You know, I've been around this message for years, yet I'm coming to the realization I know little about it. The more I study it, the more I start to try to comprehend it, the more I understand, man, was I even smart enough to get out of the rain? You understand what I'm saying? Because God starts to enlighten us. That's what I want. And what we saw here this morning was a classic example of how to appropriate the Word of God in our life. Why did I send her to the hospital? That's where I sent her. And that's where I'm going after. Because if you don't go to the hospital, you don't stay on your medicine while you're believing for healing, you're going to be dead. Amen. I believe in divine healing. Yes. Now, if God showed up, healed her right there, woo! I'd be all right with it. But he didn't. So what did I do? I said, Kathy, it's time to go to the hospital. You better stay alive until you can build the faith. I know that there's a ditch on either side. There's no healing anymore, and there's healing. We need to stay right down the middle of the road. What the Word says he will do, he will do. But I can't have faith for anybody. Those are miracles. I am not in charge of the miracle department. God is. When God moves, he moves, and you'll see it. And we can rejoice when it happens. Healing's a process. Just like getting the temperature down in this room is a process. Amen? I'll take you to my little scriptures I've been meditating on for the last couple weeks. Because this is something I've got to get in my life. These are two little scriptures about, here, I'll just read them to you. Hebrews 6:15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There's a process in getting there, guys. And this is the other one, Hebrews 10:23. These are mine. I carry these in my little pocket. This is how I meditate on things. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And I had to look that up because I thought that was, when I saw this, I said, wait, hope. Because I've been studying on hope and we've been teaching on hope. And I had to look that up because I thought, I used to always misquote this. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. That's why I always said it. It's not faith, it's confession of our hope. The thermostat. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Dang. See, I'm even learning this. I'm telling you, man, don't get critical. But know you have an enemy, and know we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He's already defeated him, but it's what we say that says the impulse to the furnace, our production center, so that we can overcome. Amen? Our hope is in him. Our confidence is in him. I am so sick of God getting the blame on everything that happens in the world. Oh, God did this. No, he didn't. Let me let you in a little secret. He is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, waiting for us to take the authority that he's given us. We are defeated because we're not stepping up to the plate and taking it or appropriating it in our lives. It's not his fault. Well, he could do this, he could do that. Yeah, you're right. He gave dominion to who in the garden? To man. Man's the one that turned it over to who? To Satan. Technically, and this is a whole other area we get into, free will. Now, if I was God, I probably would have did away with free will. Because that caused all the problems. But then you wouldn't know what love is. And God is what? Love. We have to do it out of a willing heart. We have to love him out of a willing heart. But I could have solved the whole problem. But there would have just been two of us there. me and the Holy Spirit. Love is a choice. Someday you're going to run into a guy and you're going to fall in love with him. And let me let you on a little secret. About 4 or 5 weeks later, you're going to wake up and look across the bed and say, what did I do? That's when love starts. I'm going to choose to love this guy. Same thing with a woman. A woman looks across the bed and goes, oh my God. You sure I heard from you? But we have to choose every day to walk in love. It's that simple. But yet we make it so confound and we make it so hard. Amen? So what do we choose? We choose life every day. That's why I'm always encouraging you. I don't care whether it's a scripture a day, a book a day. I mean, we have got more access to the Word of God than any generation. We can listen to it on the radio. We can listen to it on tapes and iPads, or not even tapes anymore. That's my age. Because that's how I started. I mean, I'll give you a little story. There was a guy who's got a ministry in Sri Lanka. And I still had all the tapes. I'm talking a big box, just of cassette tapes, that I used to listen to every day of all these guys. And I said, well, here, you can have them. And he just kind of looked at me and said, well, we don't even have anything to play them on. They're dead. You know, I mean, they weren't 8 tracks. Come on. They were cassettes. But even that, we, you know, everything's digital today. But we have access to everything that we need to succeed. There are teachers out there, and I just encourage you to get around faith teachers, people who are going to encourage you to grow in the things of God. They can stretch you, they can challenge you. There's a lot of things when I'm reading in the Bible that rub me the wrong way. You know why they rub me the wrong way? Either I'm not living it, or I'm not walking in it. And it's like, oh man, and that's just life. God's always trying to take us to that next level. We're not God. I mean, if you want to see perfection here on earth, the only one we can look at is Jesus. He's the only one that once he was filled with the Spirit of God was completely respondent to the Spirit of God. We are human. We miss it. With that being said, the devil's out there trying to trip you up. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's just a little, do you really need to do that? We'll go back to love. Do I really need to walk up to that person and put my arm around him? Do I really need to say that? Do I really, I'll use my little example. Do I really need to give that $20 to that little girl? Or then you got a husband. I mean, I remember Damien. Remember Damien was here a few weeks ago? How I met Damien. We were eating BW3s is where he waiters. When we go in there, we ate. And I said, okay, hon, I'm going to take the kids out. You pay the bill. She gave the guy a $100 tip. Then she comes out and gets in the car. I just gave him $100. The Lord told me to. I'm like, are you nuts? I didn't know she knew April. I didn't know 2 or 3 months later, somebody that he knew needed a bed. Okay, we can get him a bed. Then that's how we reconnected. You don't know what you're doing. But I would have killed my wife if I was in the flesh. $100 for what I just ate? That's more than the bill. And what do I look like, the money tree? That's what was going through my head, guys. I mean, I'm being honest here. But what we were doing was sowing seed. She was obedient, and we're sowing those seeds. And what are we expecting? A harvest. Amen? He was here. And Diane touched base with him this week. Oh, I'm going to try to make it this week. We got a spiritual battle going on over him. And I'm telling you, over every one of these empty seats, there's a spiritual battle here. And the devil wants to keep him bound and determined not to make it in these doors. But we call these things what? My little impulse is, this church is full. I don't look at empty seats. I look at full seats. I look at God setting people free. I look at the Lord delivering people. I look at the people starting to walk in victory in their life. That's what I see. I see a congregation that's taking care of one another and affecting this world. That's what I see. I don't see empty seats because my impulse, my hope is what? I know God. God loved, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that none shall perish. He's already on our side. He wants this place full. All I got to do is start calling it that way. But I had a little conversation with April this week. These four pillars, you need to know them. We're going to start going over these four pillars every week. We were in the office, and she's going, what scriptures can I use? I don't want you to use scriptures to define this. I want it to come out of your heart. I know God because God did this in my life. I found freedom. God delivered me from this. Your testimony. I have a purpose in my life. God has called me to do this. And God is using me in this world. It's got to be your testimony. It can't be John's testimony. It can't be Diane's testimony or Keith and April's or anybody else. It's got to be you. You need to own this. It's got to be in you so much that it just comes out. It's natural. Amen? That's why we're going to go over it. We're going to pound it. Repetition, as the teacher says. Repetition. And I don't want to hear it how John says it. Because it doesn't make any sense to you if it sounds like John. It's got to come out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's got to be you. Make it you. Be you. Amen? All right. Hallelujah.